implications of new GTLDs for CCTLDs. And I'm delighted to hand over the chair to Vika, who will chair this session, and Byron, who will moderate and hopefully get some audience input and comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Welcome again after lunch. You know, it's usually not the best, the most interesting of times to listen to presentations and speeches, but it's always nice if it's going to be about the new GTLDs. That's good enough to keep everybody awake. My name is Vika Mpisane, the general manager of the ZA Domain Name Authority, and the chairperson of the African Top Level Domains and the Council and the CCNS. So I've been asked to chair this session. And I will introduce our panelists here. But probably before that, just to explain, for those who were in Singapore in June, you will remember that we had another session on the new GTLDs. Its focus was broader than this one. We've sort of narrowed this one down. And I will leave that to Byron, whom you know very well. He's going to be the moderator for this session. And I'm just here to open it as a chair, and then I will sum up at the end of the day. Byron will basically be throwing questions, following up on inputs and views. And at some point, we'll be opening it up to the floor for people to give their views or to ask questions. But before that, I will introduce the panelists here. And even before I do, we will remember also that we had a new GTLD panel session on Monday during the Tech Day closure, which was an interesting one. I was there as well, and there were some interesting views that came through about the complexities of the ICANN new GTLD application process. So those were lovely to hear. I suppose that some of those contributions will be coming on here. If I may introduce our panelists, starting on the left, Victor Abbott from Ecuador, CCTLD, a member of the CCNSO. He will give us an input from the CCTLD side. Next to him is Elliot Norris from Tucows. We need not introduce Tucows. They're one of the biggest registrars worldwide in terms of domain names hosted. And then next to me on my left is a face we know very well, Matthew Vail from afnic.fr, the CCTLD that will also be, that is planning to host a GTLD.Paris. And knowing a couple of other things that are possible, they may even be more than just .Paris. So they are quite in this game. And on my immediate right is John Madsen from Akitelos. Did I pronounce that right? Yeah, Akitelos, they are also in the new GTLD game, providing advice, providing technology, business models and stuff. I was just admitting to him that when I read up on the new GTLD stuff, one of the blogs I follow a lot is theirs. So, and then on my extreme right, yes, sorry, Liz. And then on my extreme right is Lisa Fu. I think we've met you before, you know, in this session. Yeah, Lisa is one of the panelists as well. Those will be our panelists that we have. I will therefore now hand it over to Byron to lead us from here. Byron.
Great. Thanks very much, Vika. Well, welcome to the panel discussion and the final session of the CCNSO's Week at ICANN here. We have 90 minutes. The goal is to be as interactive as possible because we certainly want to hear from you, and we would be very happy if you could interact with the panel, ask questions, talk about your experiences, what you're doing vis-a-vis the advent of new GTLDs in your space. So that's sort of the very, very high level. What I'd like to do just to get going and to lay it out a bit is plan to put a couple of questions out there. So as we get going, have these in the back of your mind. Think about these questions. So when we get into the discussion part, maybe they'll start to frame some of the early dialogue. I'm going to do a little bit of background setting or stage setting just to give us all again, some food for thought in terms of some of the possible implications of the new landscape, and then really throw it open to the panel to give some of their ideas and thoughts on the new competitive landscape, how that's going to work, how that's going to impact registrants, registrars, registries, and really get their thoughts, because they come from a range of backgrounds. Folks who are working in the consulting space around new GTLDs, some of your CC colleagues who are going to get into the registry services business, some who aren't, and then, of course, Elliot, who's one of the largest registrars in the world. Who, knowing Elliot, Elliot's a Canadian. He's one of our .ca registrars. I know him well, and I'm sure he will be very candid with his input. So I look forward to that. So that's the general lay of the land. And like I say, once we get going, the idea is to really try as much as possible to have an interactive dialogue going going forward. So a few of the questions that I'd like everybody to ponder as we head into this session are really around some of what I think are going to be the key topics, probably what we all think are going to be the key topics. And the first one is really a proviso. I mean, new GTLDs is a very broad space, so we're actually going to start by winnowing it down a little bit and keep it focused more on regional and city TLDs. The types of TLDs that are likely to have a more profound impact, and maybe we can debate that, but let's say as an assumption, likely to have a more significant impact on our operations and our respective environments. So the question there is, are they going to be a partner, or are they going to be a competitor? Or is there going to be co-opetition? What's that going to look like in your landscape? New registry operators, who are they? Seems everybody with a PowerPoint deck can be a registry operator right now, and there's a few of those out there. But there are also going to be a lot of new registry operators in our space. What's that going to look like for you? You know, registrars are closing in on the registry space. You know, we in a sense had a bit of a near-death experience with vertical integration recently, and certainly that's on the back burner for now. But nonetheless, it's getting blurred around the edges. How is that going to impact us as CC operators? And how is this changing landscape going to impact all the various actors in the space? And most especially, of course, the end user, the registrants and the end users, but certainly the registrars, registries, and any other oversight bodies in your jurisdiction. So just ponder those questions as we go through this. In terms of setting a little bit of, setting the stage a bit with some background to help us get going on this conversation, you know, the fact is new GTLDs are coming into all of our backyards. They'll be the broad ones. We're going to focus mostly right in this session on the ones that are likely to be really potentially significant impact, which is local, regional, city, and other types that are specifically geographic likely. You know, we know there's going to be a number of geographics likely out there, .Paris, NYC, Berlin, major cities. In my own backyard in Canada, we have .Quebec, which is a province of Canada, making a strong bid. At the same time, a number of CCs are entering the registry services business. How's that going to change the landscape? How might it change the landscape in here even? And how will all of these changes, or how will all of this, rather, change the competitive landscape? You know, some from externally might argue that people in this room haven't faced a lot of competition. I would argue, depending on the environment, we do, but regardless, whatever happens, it is going to change our competitive landscape. How's that going to affect us in the countries that we serve? Specifically, how's it going to impact us as CC operators? Like I said, the strict separation or the vertical integration issue, you know, came to the fore and receded, but it's likely, and we'd like to get your thoughts, will that come back as an issue in the future, or is it dead and buried for the foreseeable future? But regardless, as I mentioned, it's significantly blurred around the edges in terms of the separation. What's the impact going to be? I think it's probably going to be material, but how is it going to affect each of us in our jurisdictions? And of course, one of the other issues related to that, generally speaking, CCs have the freedom to go direct if we so choose. We can be the registrar in our environment. Many, arguably most of us, don't, but it's certainly within our purview to consider that in a changing competitive landscape. What are we thinking about? What are we doing there? How will the other competitors react if we go direct? How will our respective registrar environments react if we think about going direct ourselves? All of these factors are going to materially increase competition. So where is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? There are going to be benefits. There are going to be winners. There are likely going to be some losers in the changes here. How do I identify them? What should we anticipate? So the goal really of this panel discussion is to better understand where and by how much is the business landscape going to change in our backyards and in the CC world? And what is really the impact, and how do we possibly adapt to, with new tactics and new strategies, to an environment that, without a doubt, we don't know how yet, but without a doubt, is materially going to change under our feet in the very near future. So really, that's just to sort of set the stage and get us going. I mean, I think we know there's lots out there that are bantied about in terms of new GTLDs that would be relevant to us. I've touched on a few, be it Paris, Berlin, Quebec, etc. Let's also think about the CC operators who are going into this space, certainly with the folks with Nominet, our .uk friends going into that space, SIDN going into that space. How is that going to impact their environments? We know that there are a number of large registrars who are going to go into the registry services space. I mean, we certainly anticipate Enom, GoDaddy, Network Solutions probably there. Vertical integration, as I mentioned, you know, .se sells direct. The majority of their domains are done direct. Is there any opportunity for us to look at that? So with that sort of as a high level, I see our Swedish colleagues smiling at that, because I think in spite of their efforts to build a registrar channel, the Swedish population just keeps coming back and buying direct. But maybe you'll have some comments on that model as well. So now, enough of me. That's the stage. That's the background. I'd like to bring the panelists in initially to talk about competition. What's it going to look like in our domains? What do we need to do about marketing and communications to deal with this? But really around competition, and I'd like to try to view it through the lens of three particular groups, the end user registrant, the registrar, and the registry. And for the most part, I think that's represented up here. Before we get going, it would be interesting, the first time you speak, if you just gave the most brief of explanations as to how you might be involved in the GTLD space, be it we're not doing anything as a registry, we're a registry, we're going into it, consultant, registrar, we're doing it, we're not, etc. So just to give people the lay of the land of the panel up here and just a little bit of background on that subject. So in terms of end users, registrars, registries, how do we see the competitive landscape changing and what are they going to make of it? Maybe just to kick it off, in terms of the registrants, for the average local registrant, is it going to matter? Are they actually going to notice anything when .Quebec shows up in Canada? Are they going to understand the difference between the CC operator and a geographic GTLD operator? Does it matter? Are they going to notice? What's the impact? So on the end user perspective, what do we think? John?
Good afternoon. My name is John Matson with Arcatelos. I'm a recovering consultant and been working in this space for about 3 years. I was a partner with KPMG, working with ICANN, and I worked with several of you on a benchmarking study a couple years ago which we looked at the cost structures of registries, and several of you participated. And then from that, I've been continuing to work in this industry. I'm just fascinated by it. I guess what I would say about competition is welcome to wave two. Everybody keeps saying, when's round two or wave two going to happen with GTLDs? Well, this is round two. You were round one. And that's what I think is a very profound difference in an understanding of this market. The fact that 35, 40% of the domain names held in the world are held by CCTLDs is a validation that the end market really doesn't distinguish between a G or a C. They just want a good name that gives them what they need. And from a market perspective, that's what we see the opportunity. And so you guys also have effectively operated as a super G. I know if I talk to other Gs and their efforts to try to compete in the world, what they're trying to do is compete in local markets. Well, you collectively together operate as a very, very effective G that has deep strength in each market that they try to sell against. So from the end user standpoint, it means just a lot more opportunity and choice. And I think also that we're going to see in the sense of our discussion here with the cities, you really now have a replication of the model that was successful for you has the opportunity to replicate with the affinity of a city. Because we're saying the affinity of a country is what allowed you to be very successful. And now we're just taking that geographic affinity and assigning it to a little smaller geographic area.
Well, I'm Lisa Fuhr from .dk. We're not planning on doing anything regarding new TLDs. We're following we're following the business closely, and we're doing a lot of hearings and information for the Internet Society in Denmark. It seems it's difficult to reach the end users. We are only talking to a lot of lawyers and a lot of registrars that are looking forward to having new TLDs. We have a registrar saying, why don't you go for .cbh? But our opinion is that we want the end users to say, well, we want a new TLD, a new city TLD or regional TLD. I don't know if Denmark is big enough for all these TLDs. We're only 5.5 million people. And, .dk is very cheap, and we have a very good dispute resolution. So, and I think these are important for the end users. So if a new TLD evolves in Denmark, .cbh, I think those are the things that are important for those guys, that it's as cheap as .dk and that it's easy to use the dispute resolution, because they don't want to have a dispute resolution that is as expensive as .com.
Thanks. Actually, I'd like to go to Elliot now and maybe just pick up on the question or notion that was expressed there, which is small market environments. If I can summarize a little bit, small market environments likely don't have the population to sustain a geographic within an even smaller market. What are your thoughts on that, Elliot?
Yeah, thanks, Byron. Elliot and us with Two Cows, we will dabble in the new GTLD space, but we see our primary role as distribution. I think that, you know, I'm somebody who loves small businesses, and I don't think there's a market that is too small on the CC side that there might not be some small variations. I mean, I guess there probably are some exceptions, but I think that I want to draw a finer distinction, and I'll come back to the small point. I want to draw a finer distinction between CCs and Gs. I think that with the new GTLD process, we're seeing something different happening. I understand John's calling CCs super Gs, but most importantly, CCs have always had a significant advantage over all GTLDs in that there was meaning in their string. With the exception of the few CCTLDs who would market themselves as generics or semi-generics, a CC had deep meaning. You know, it was related to a specific country or area. And I believe that that was the primary driver, has historically been the primary driver of the success we've seen in the CC space. When I come to ICANN meetings or travel anywhere in the world, one of the things that I love to do is just watch the billboards and the signs and the cars and trucks that drive by and try and gauge the percentage of penetration. You know, how many is the CC and how many is the COM? And you'll always see a story told there. So I think that the most important implication of new GTLDs is that for CCs, something that they've always had as an inherent advantage is on some level going away. And it's not that their semantics or their meaning is going to be encroached on, but it's more that now there will be others that will also have meaning. And there's implications that flow out of that. The first is that, boy, if I was a CC operator, what I would really want to do right now is understand two or three key things about my operation. I think the first is, what's the competitive landscape that I'm likely to face? You know, one of the other advantages that you all have operationally is that you know the places where you live and work better than just about every competitor you're going to have, except in the very, very biggest of CCs. And that advantage is important when looking at the market and making a decision or a set of assumptions around what cities might potentially be interested or have some value in a new GTLD, what regions, what specific ethnic groups, maybe some other variations. And once you understand the landscape, I think that leads to the second point, which is, given that landscape and how that looks next to your operation and what you're good at today and what you might not be so good at today, how should you position yourself? You know, there's a broad range of business models for CCs. Many are quasi-governmental or in some way connected to their governments. Many, most perhaps, I mean in my experience, are not-for-profits. Those things have implications in the way that you play in the GTLD, in the new GTLD space. And then I think the third thing is understanding how people in your countries and regions buy domain names today. Maybe they don't very well, and this can be an opportunity to broaden distribution and penetration. Maybe they do, and if they do, how do they do it? Do they typically do it through local service providers? You know, my experience is, and maybe the most valuable thing that I can say that you can take away today, is with the exception of the United States, every single other country in the world has only local or national providers. We're the largest wholesaler in the world. We have customers in 120 countries. I know of no other country besides the United States where the largest hosting company is not located in that region. And we have seen countless, in that country, we've seen countless attempts by people from out of country try and buy their way in to another country. Without exception, those attempts have failed. When somebody from a country bought the number one hosting company in a neighboring country, the former number two or number three immediately gained a ton of business and shot to number one. Understand your local distribution, because you know, we all, whether it's Two Counts as a wholesale registrar or you all as registries, we all fulfill demand, we don't create it. So I think those three points, you know, really are the places that I'd start, and each of them has deep implications. Thanks.
Thanks, Elliot. Sorry about that. Thanks, Elliot. That was a great start. Victor, maybe I'd ask you the question again. In terms of the end users, we've heard some perspectives now. What's your take on is there going to be a big difference between the new geographic Gs, or maybe cultural centric to our environments, and the CCs? And just before you get going, It's very hard to moderate a panel. I can't see the end. So I'm actually going to come down and around. So the fact that I stand up and walk away, don't worry about that. I'm coming right back. And that mic works, right? Catherine?
Apparently it does.
Thank you. Okay, Victor.
Hi, I'm Victor Abud from NIC EC, the CCTLD for Ecuador. The way that we see it right now, the GTLDs, we are in the process of changing from a monolithic model of direct registrations to the registrar model. So we are mostly concentrated in that instead of making efforts to launch new GTLDs. What I'm saying is that we are not proactively working of launching new GTLDs in the CCTLD, but we are not close to doing it, especially if they are geo, like city names or ethnics or intercultural domains that GTLDs that could be in Ecuador. We have been working in the last years to turn around the ratio of penetration from GTLDs to CCTLD, from a 30% CCTLD, 70% GTLD, mostly .com.net, and now we are in the other side. We are on the 70% CCTLD.EC versus 30% GTLDs. So we've been working probably exactly on the opposite side of making aware people in our country that they should use .EC and why .EC is better for their businesses or for their organizations rather than GTLDs. So if we work on the GTLD space, it would be specifically on geo names or city names. There's a couple of cities that have asked us already to do some studies and work on that, but we are more focused now on the main CCTLD. And the main reason could be that if there is something that everybody in the country has in common, is the CCTLD. I mean, .EC is for every Ecuadorian person. And we are not only thinking about the people in Ecuador, also foreign people buy .EC domains, but that's our main focus right now. What we feel about the new GTLDs is that at the beginning there will be some confusion. The market will be, the resellers will be confused, will be tempted to sell the new GTLDs just because they are new and that's the new thing that you have to have. But in some way, we will always be in the mind of the people in Ecuador because it's the CCTLD of the country.
Great, thank you very much. I'd like to just pick up on a couple of points there. One, the transition, flipping market share, 30-70 to 70-30. So I love a success story like that. Let's not forget that we can do a lot with our own core businesses to make changes like that. I have to admit, I really look up to you. We live beside the gorilla.com, and you know, we are in that. We started out in that 25-75 zone. We've moved it up to 30-60 and 10% for others. So I'd like to talk to you about how you turned that around. I love it. And I think behind that is an important thing, right? Let's not forget, one of the key strategies we can all take is defend the core business, build the core business. They've doubled their penetration rate. That is an extremely valid strategy. That's a great idea. Moving on to Mathieu, quick back to the original question. You know, we heard from Victor about confusion in the new marketplace, potential confusion. What are registrants end users going to think when 100, 500 GTLDs show up on their web browsers? In your market, what do you think? Does the end user understand the difference? Are they going to understand the difference? How's it going to impact them?
Thank you, Byron. Just a disclosure, so AFNIC has basically the same strategy as Ecuador, which is basically building the brand, building the core business around .fr, and making sure it's a well-recognized top-level domain for every citizen and company in France. But we've added a second field in launching ourselves in the very competitive registry services, registry solutions business. We have been selected by the City of Paris very early in 2009. Sounds really far away now.
A long time ago.
As the backend registry service provider for the city, for the future.paris. And we are also in contact so far with other geographic communities, local and cultural communities, regions in France, but also corporations or entrepreneurs in France, basically trying to give them an edge in this race and making sure that they can rely on a partner that is close to them and shares values and language with them. So to come back to your question about confusion, it's clear today that in the end user's perspective, the difference between ccTLDs and gTLD is completely irrelevant in their choice. What they want is a domain name and the additional services. I really stress the additional services because, and I think that's the key role of the registrars, they are providing more than domain names. And we need to understand that we are providing a specific part of a service, which is typically, I'm an individual, I want a personalized email address, or I'm a company, I want to build my website and sell online. This is the value chain in which we are operating. And it's sure it's key that the new gTLDs try to offer new opportunities in the value chain, new ways of addressing those needs or other needs. So if all new gTLDs basically just replicate the current models, whether it's the ccTLD model or the gTLD model, I mean the number of generic names of which we hear today, like .shop, .web, or whatever, unless they find a new way of addressing users' need, will, in my opinion, really struggle in the new landscape. But with the City of Paris, with the different partners we have, we're trying to overcome this by setting up new ways of allocating domain names or using them and making sure that they have the ability to brand in a different way in order for the end user to differentiate well what a .paris can bring compared to what a .com or a .fr can bring. But it certainly is going to be a challenge and difficult to predict what the outcome will be.
Thanks, Mathieu. I think you raised a really good point there, too, for registries who are thinking about this is, you know, if you use the metaphor of the grocery store, we're a one-product store, right? You sell milk. Can you expect people to come to your store just for that, right? Elliot's the grocery store. He's got it all. Is it, you know, mail services, other services, web hosting, et cetera, ISP services, and you sell milk. So how's that? What's that interplay going to look like? Let's pick that one up later. John, you sort of have a high-level overview of many different environments given the space that you're in. You've obviously worked inside ICANN, done some work around the gTLD space for ICANN specifically. Still sticking with the end user, but I just get some quick insights here. What do you see in terms of competition? How is what has to be an increased level of competition going to affect price for CCs, do you think? Any potential impacts on quality or service? But let's start with price.
Well, you approach it first from a macroeconomic view that just says, if I'm increasing supply, what's going to happen to price if demand stays constant? Well, you know, obviously price begins to get soft. So I think that's a question. We've seen .com continue to increase 7% per year for the last X number of years. At $7.84 currently, if they continue to increase, I think it's two more increases and they're over $10 a wholesale name. So I think you're going to see some barriers there that the market's not going to accept. CCs have had the unique characteristic, and Elliot pointed out very well, it's the fact that you have an affinity built into your string. That is unique, and that's what the new GTLDs have the opportunity to do. Those affinities are going to be based on either economic, geographic, or social behaviors that have some sort of structure around them. And that's what these TLDs are aiming at. So I think price is going to become a question, and it could soften. I think also you're going to see some real important issues around marketing. Today, currently, you get names because people understand your value prop implicitly. You don't have to spend money on marketing because they know .ca stands for Canada. They know that. Marketing is awareness, understanding, and preference. You have a built-in preference normally for someone within your market area that understands. That's not going to be the case going forward. And so you're going to have to spend some money on the marketing side to continue to get your value prop out there and to make that value prop stand out amongst the other choices they're going to now have.
Thanks very much. Lise, just before we went to lunch, you were telling us what a great deal .dk was and how inexpensive it was. How's it going to impact your world?
Well, I'm not sure because we see a lot of Danish registrants having a lot of domains directed to the same website. So I met an American photographer who had a .com site who said he was considered not, he was not serious enough because he didn't have a .dk domain name. I loved that. And I think that's a branding that we have that's an advantage compared to the other ones. I think we might have people in Copenhagen wanted to have CPH, but they'll still have a .dk domain. And I think the branding we have made without marketing, I agree, is strong enough, but I think our services will be affected. I don't think our prices will be, but we will need to deliver a top service compared to the other ones that are in the market. And that's not the case at the moment.
Okay. Elliot, you're the superstore here. What's going to happen to prices?
Hardly, but I would really encourage all of you to not think about price, but instead to think about cost. And what I mean when I say that is I don't believe that to end users, domains are a material price, whether that's a business or an individual. To suppliers, to the supply chain, they are a material cost. I think if I had a relatively low volume but high-priced CCTLD distribution today, I might look to hold my cost, hold or slightly increase my volume by greatly increasing my level of service and ease of use. I think often in the CC space, not enough time and emphasis is placed on making your service easy to use, easy to integrate with, easy to work across jurisdictions. People more and more do see, you know, there's a lot of local and global at the same time. So if you start to think about it as a cost, you know, if you have give me a currency that goes best here, euros. If you have a 30 euro price that you're charging today, boy, I wouldn't think you had to go down to 10 euros to be competitive because you'll never triple your volumes. But you might be able to hold your price more effectively and maybe even increase your volumes if you made yourselves easier to deal with, easier to integrate with, raise the service level, took advantage of, you know, one of the very interesting points that was made around having a compliance advantage as well. You know, I hadn't thought about, you know, how that really can be leverageable in local, geographic, and then national contexts. So cost, not price, and, you know, boy, I wish that I had the ability to charge some of the prices that you're able to. I only dream of being able to do that one day, so don't give it away so quickly.
Thanks, Elliot. That's a really interesting point to sort of flip it on its head and don't think about the price, but about the cost. I know Stefan from .SC had actually had a comment, and I know they've done some work in this space, so...
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm Stefan Johnson of .SE. I'm missing one perspective in this discussion, and that's the perspective of... we started talking about change in business landscape, right? We all in here represent supply, but what is the actual demand for domain names out there among end users? And I think this makes a difference, because... demand is defined by end users, and they don't think in terms of generic or ccTLDs. They think in terms of, where do I get my information, through a domain name or through a search engine? So if you flood the market with thousands of TLDs, you'll have confused consumers or end users, and they will probably turn to a certain degree to search engines. So the important question is, how are search engines going to change the DNS market? If search engines decide not to allow certain TLDs to be on the top 10 in search results, they will have an enormous influence, for instance, Google then, of course. So competition is more complicated than just new TLD operators. It's an issue about search engines, about social medias, and other ways of finding your information. So that's the aspect I'm missing in this discussion.
So I think that's a good point, and there are certainly other layers to the competitive landscape, be it search or applications or others, and I completely agree with you. We're going to try to keep it a little bit to GTLDs. However, I do want to pick up on an important point, because I think it speaks to potentially the advantage of the CCs in this landscape, which you already touched on, and that is, how does search float names to the top? I think obviously with CCs we have a certain inherent advantage there. We should be conscious of it, and we should be working it. Let's move on a little bit and talk about the registrars. We spent some time on the registries. How is this actually going to impact the registrars? We've done a little research on all publicly available documents and looked at gross and net margins for the two landscapes sort of in general. And if we look at the registrar landscape, it's about 45 gross and about 5% net margins. And if you look in, let's say, a large CC operators, it's probably more like 60 and 25. So through the process of diffusion, if you're a registrar, where do you want to be? Do you like 5%, or does 25% sound better? And does that mean you may actively or very proactively try to enter that space or take a piece of that margin? Maybe I'll kick this one to Mathieu, because you're looking, you know, you're going to straddle the divide there. What do you think the registrar community is going to be thinking about here?
Well, I'm trying not to think for the registrars and focus on what I see. And basically, it's clear that the ICANN decision in terms of vertical integration have opened the doors, whereby a number of registrars are entering one way or another the registry business. It starts with consulting services to provide applicants with services to select a registry, then apply, and of course some of them will also provide registry services. It's perfectly natural. It is also a source of tension between registries and registrars in their respective countries. Some registrars are not far from saying that, well, you should not be allowed to compete with them. And then I turn to them and say, well, but you're entering the registry business. You were registrars, so I'm not going to compete with you. You are competing with me. But it's somehow difficult for them to enter in a new kind of relationship with registries, which is co-opetition. We are a provider and customer in one ways. They may prescribe your services in other ways, and they may also compete on several markets. So that's a sign that our global environment is maturing, that this is going to happen. But I think it's not the only way that registrar relationships will be affected by the new GTRD process. As you mentioned, there tends to be a higher margin in the registry business so far. Increased competition, the levels of service that are standardized by the new GTRD process will somehow commoditize our technical registry service business. And therefore, we can expect lower margin or higher pressure for us to standardize our services, facilitate integration, make costs lower. I think this is really one of the key facts that we see in the future. And finally, this was one of the outcome of a recent discussion we've had on this very topic in a center meeting. Currently, with our registrars, we have limited competition for resources at the registrar level when we have to implement a change in our registries. How many of you have introduced EPP in the last 3 to 4 years? Good. How many of you are planning to do it in the coming 2 years? So the conclusion we had from this setup was, be careful. Registrars and the technical teams in registrars will be extremely busy dealing with all the introductions of the new GTLDs, and we won't be available for you. So if you want to do a big change in your registry system, open to IDNs or whatever, be aware that you will have trouble getting registrar buy-in because they will be busy elsewhere. And if it's basically more attractive from a business perspective to go elsewhere, they'll go elsewhere. So I think that's also a key message that we have to take into account, that in our relationships with our distribution channel, a lot of things will be transformed in the coming years. And the availability of their resources is a short-term effect. It's only a year away. Well, if I can follow the deadlines. Sorry.
Thanks, Mathieu. Just picking up on a point there, and it sort of goes back to the price, cost versus price. Compressed margin and inevitably more competitive landscape, as John said, or at least the strong potential for that. So, Victor, you guys have focused on defending the core, building your business. You've obviously done a pretty remarkable job flipping the tables like that. Are you thinking about the potential for the change, the demand for lowering the price and what that might do to your business and how you market and communicate your business as a result?
We don't think it's an issue, because that issue about the price, we have had it for the last, 5, 8, 10 years. Always the GTLD have been much more cheaper, or the CCTLD much more expensive than the GTLD. So this is not a new issue, the price issue. It's not that we are not worried. Of course, we are worried about that, but it's not something that, because the new GTLDs are coming, then we have to lower the prices. No, because we haven't had to do it in the last years. As I said, there is something about the CCTLDs that the GTLDs do not have. the CCTLDs, you almost do not have to sell it because it's the domain of a country. So even for the registrars, if they launch other GTLDs, you have to convince the end users or the resellers to buy dot whatever or dot this or dot other, but you don't have to convince the concept of buying a CCTLD, because if you want to buy dot EC or dot VE or dot whatever, a CCTLD is because you want the domain of that country specifically, and that's a different issue. For the other one, you may use the price to convince the resellers, not necessarily for the CCTLDs.
Thanks, Victor. It's interesting here, I think, and I think it speaks to another issue, which is price elasticity for CC domains. And I wonder how much thought we actually give to it, because we know that .dk provides a very low-cost environment. We've heard that Victor is a little more, and we know that Sweden from time to time is even more, and they go direct, and in spite of charging what they do, they can't get rid of their registrants trying to go direct, right? So interesting about how much elasticity I hear in terms of the pricing. Just as a quick point that I'll make, in our environment, we've done some hard quantitative research on price elasticity, and while our wholesale price is $8.50 Canadian, so depending on the day, I think roughly $8 American. End user price elasticity shows no sensitivity up to about $25. No impact. No impact on volume. Now, that doesn't mean that the registrars can then go out and all charge $25. The price is more around the $15 mark at retail in Canada. But what it shows is the market wouldn't change up to about $25. Now, of course, there's some people who still continue to get much higher, but a lot of price elasticity there. Liz, did you want to come in? And then, of course, you know, anybody else who has questions or want to pose a comment or question to the panel, please feel free. And Gabby's going to get the roving mic, and I'll be the roving mic over here, and you can go over there so you don't have to go back and forth like yesterday. So, Liz, you had a quick comment, and then we'll go to Sabine.
I just want to say that we have to take into account that certain CCTLDs are regulated. So our cost as a CCTLD in Denmark are defined by the regulator, and we have to pay for the ADR, and we have to make it cost neutral, and there's a lot of demands for .dk, and those we don't know if they apply to a new TLD, new city TLD or regional TLD, and that's going to change our market competition very much if it's not the same. But I think it's going to be difficult to make it the same, and that's a dilemma we have to look into in Denmark.
Yeah, good point. Like CCs, we operate in many different models, and the regulated space is obviously going to have different outcomes. Yeah. Sabine?
I have a question. I'm a little bit puzzled about the discussions we heard about is there now more competition? And when I look at our product, the domain, it's not product which is, and you talk most about what the user actually will take for new domain. But most of the business, at least I see, is with already registered domains, and they don't go in full force. It's not like I have now BlackBerry, and then next time I took a fancy new iPhone, and if the fancy new iPhone isn't good enough, I go to the Nokia. So what I see, most of our users, when they have a domain, they basically keep it. What your discussion is or what I see you are discussing is the very, very small amount of newly registered domains, which is currently in Germany, we are roughly with 4% growth at the moment per year. And we see it decreasing over the last couple of years. So we are talking about a very, very small market, so increase of 4%. And the question is, is 4% now split up in more and more TLDs? And that's That's an interesting question. I would give back to you. Do you think that that really changes? That there are real changes, because I think we have a product where the users are really up to some extent. They don't give it up and took a new one. It's not like, oh, my fancy www.de, I don't like it anymore. I go to my fancy www.berlin, and if I don't like that anymore, I go to much more fancy www.paris. So the question is, how do you foresee the market will look like in the future? Because the market is very much about already registered domains. There's the most money, and there will be some new one, and they will actually, from my perspective, look for the small, that they will give up the current growth rate amongst all of us. And that's the question, how that will spread out.
Thanks, Sabine. So I guess in there was, are all of these new competitors going to fight for that little sliver of growth that she talked about, or is there going to be a rising tide that's going to float all boats and create a bigger pie? So while you guys think about that for a second, we've had a couple more. So Jay and then Peter, but first back to the panel. Who wants to take on .de?
There's a couple I want to kind of tease it out a bit, pull that out a bit. I think that there's probably three things that we'll see. It's still the case that 50% of businesses are not online or don't have a website, and that's in North America. I think that's a similar number in Europe, and it's a higher number in rest of world. And certainly there are, in any big namespace like .de, scarcity issues. So I do think that there is a possibility that, a probability, that we're going to see the expansion of the namespace address some of that and, you know, kind of raise the total market size. I think the second point is where we're seeing a lot of growth is in people just at a unit level, in individuals owning, or individuals, companies owning multiple domain names now, using, instead of just a domain name for a company, small business, using one also, one or two or three, for specific services or specific marketing initiatives, and also starting to own much more across namespaces. So I think that as usage comes along, like that, as that usage penetrates deeper, you know, this is a very, very inexpensive service, and it's nothing for a business, small business, single entrepreneur, to own 5 or 10 domain names. And I think the third thing that we're seeing is mobile, and whether mobile is tablet or, you know, let's call it smaller form factor computing. A lot of people talk about apps and how that impacts on domain names. I think, and I don't want to get too geeky, but HTML5 has pretty much ensured that, you know, the DNS will be the underpinning for how you get or return to things. You know, I feel compelled to bring the search point back in. People always forget the nuance of, I find something for the first time through search, but I return to it through a domain name. Whether that's fill in the browser or you type it in, it's still using the DNS, and it makes that domain name very important. When you tell somebody about a website, you know, just think of your own personal experience, the difference between able to use, you know, very nicely formed canonical domain name to tell somebody where to go, or, you know, if it's a long string, maybe you say, I'll send you an email later with the link, or, you know, go here and look for this. And so that findability and returnability, you know, all these things, I think, really, really do drive up the total volume.
John, quick response, and then we're going to Jay with your question.
Yeah, just some simple numbers. If we look at 200 million domain names currently, let's say it's 10% growth, roughly 8 to 10%, so 220 million next year. But let's put an 80% renewal factor on that, so that's 160 million as a base. So that's 60 million domain names each year that a new choice gets to be made globally. Escalate that roughly by 7 to 10%. I don't think it's going to be a net adder to the total growth. I think it's going to be a competition for those net new, and that's where those marketing dollars are going to go after and try and spend and deflect. Elliot's point, I think, is very accurate that you're going to see multiple name holders increase, and you're also going to see the Asian market, the Indian market, the Chinese market, et cetera, begin to come in their own as economic development occurs and those businesses grow to the point. We've definitely done some correlation that shows if your GDP is less than about 15,000 per domain or 15,000 US dollars per capita, cell phone sales lead domain name sales. Once it flips, though, and GDP per capita gets above 15,000 USD, domain name sales growth actually leads cell phone sales growth. So those are just some statistics to look at your market and see how they compare.
Jay.
I'm interested in exploring further about this concept of affinity that a number of you mentioned, in particular how it relates to the CC market and the drivers for that affinity. So to give you a couple of questions, how much is the affinity towards a CC just been purely language-based? You know, if I were a French speaker, why would I necessarily look in .com for something in French? It's guaranteed I'll find something in French in .fr, largely. And how much of it is because .com, .net org, you know, these others, don't really mean anything strong enough for me to have affinity with them. And so if people start producing things that I might have a very strong affinity for because they, you know, push my particular button, are we suddenly going to see a splintering of this affinity across 1,000 different places?
Mathieu, any, or...
I was going to say, I know at least that's our perspective, that it's the characteristic is affinity, and you guys, as we've talked about, enjoy the benefit of that, whether it was through a regulatory body that gave you that choice or gave you that opportunity. And now we're going to give the market the opportunity to get creative. Many of those are going to fail. I know our looks at IDN, I can't figure it out. As you know, logically, you think that there's going to be a big affinity in those markets that haven't had you know, their script and really see some take-up. We've seen Russia, but you know, what are we going to see in some of these other markets? It's still a quandary for us.
If I can follow
Mathieu,
this. I don't think affinity is a given, and it's only defined by the string. Maybe a little cynical, but it's a matter of marketing. It's a matter of branding. And it is the challenge for the new GT-only applicant to create this by all forms of marketing. It's not going to be TV ads, or maybe, but I'm not sure it's the most efficient way. But first of all, by creating new models of using the domain name, in order to not to limit themselves to the thin new renewals or new creations, but to create a new meaning behind their top-level domain and possibly go beyond website and email. But it is going to be a matter of creating these brands, and that's why, yes, a number of them will fail. It's going to be the market, the invisible hand of the market will certainly destroy a number of them, or at least have them stay below the line of visibility. But this is what is going to decide whether a new GTLD is successful or not. Has it found its customer and its position in terms of branding? And I think one of the aspects I'd like to underline is CCTLDs are going to be competing with these people, and these new applicants will be focused exclusively on the branding. Most of them will not be operating technical services. So that is one aspect that is must give us some thought, because they will be focusing very hard on this. Some of them will be good, some of them will be bad, but this is also questioning most of our models in terms of how we are organized.
I think Matthew is taking us down a very important path for all of us as CC operators. You know, I think it's a pretty mixed crowd in terms of the level of effort, in terms of the level of effort that we expend against marketing and communication, resources and dollars. For a lot of us, it probably isn't necessarily in our DNA to do a lot of promotion and marketing. Mathieu raises a very good point. Just out of curiosity, how many people are expending, I'll leave it to you subjectively to interpret this, material resources vis-a-vis your budget against marketing and communicating your brand? Hands up. So a handful of registries. Okay. Really, yeah, let's go to Young Un with a question. And are there any other questions? Because I periodically have my back to you. Okay, Young Un.
I'd like to start by mentioning that one of the facts that was mentioned before, which was that CCs and Gs have been operating with a different model, and that the reason why the CCs did not have to advertise their domain is because CCs, I mean most of them, don't see it as a real business, but as a service to their community. And in that respect, I'm going to bring up actually a very controversial issue, which is the names of certain regions actually do have characteristics that are very similar to the CCs. The way the CCs operate, the principles under which the CCs operate could also apply to those regional names. And this is, I know this is very contentious, but when we're talking about operating from different models, I mean, CCs have governments to answer to. They have a much more of a responsibility to their community. And if we start to have names of certain regions, I'm wondering, is that a true G, or should we characterize it as something else? I know it is going to be registered as a G, but then we are introducing a different model. We may be introducing a different operating model to the Gs as well, so that's. Actually, that's I would like to pose a question. Do you really think that these regional names are generic? There was mentioned that there are many businesses that do not have domain names so far. Though, I mean, I'm guessing most of those would be very small, local, regional, and those are the ones that will be registering these regional names. And what happens then? Because it is based on a certain region within a country.
Liz, you had a comment?
Well, yes. I find that the regions, the name of the regions belong to the countries, so or the countries they are a part of, not if you take the larger region, if you take Europe or that. But like we have regions within Denmark, I find would belong to Denmark. But actually, I think the end users are not seeing the difference between like .dk is run cost neutral and we're trying to help to benefit the internet society in Denmark. I don't think they really care that much as long as the others are just as cheap or have a good service. So I think the customers are not loyal in that way. They know the brand .dk, but if there's another domain name, they'll buy it and go with it. I don't think they'll give up the .dk. I agree with Sabine on that one, but so I don't know. It's in Denmark, we are pretty invisible. As long as we work, no one cares. As long as we don't have any breakdowns or mess up the domain name space in Denmark, everyone is happy, but they're not going to be loyal to us. So we don't do any marketing, and I think from this conversation, I really think we should do that, because I think we do a good job in Denmark, but it's just not shown.
It's if I could just make a comment, you know, we're not for profit. We're there to provide a service for Canadians, et cetera, like most of you. And at the board level, we have had many discussions with that existential discussion. I mean, should we just keep it running, keep the lights on, and as long as people show up, we'll do a good job running it and run it right to the very last person and not do anything about that? I mean, that is one way to look at it. My personal view is kind of the other way, that it's a natural resource for all Canadians, and it behooves us to put it in the hands of every single Canadian, and that's the way we govern ourselves. But that doesn't mean that we have total agreement at a board level on those two points of view. Mathieu, you had a comment, maybe John after that.
I just wanted to comment on a similar aspect that AFNI, for instance, is not for profit, and we think that not for profit doesn't mean you can't compete with corporations. It's just that we're not here for the money. We're here to serve a local community. And .fr is a national asset, and we do marketing because we think that through marketing we can develop it further, get more resources, and through these resources be able to share our expertise on the national level with the community, at international level through our Collège International I was mentioning yesterday. Entering the GTLD business is following the same line. It's not only defensive, it's also trying to serve the community, the local stakeholders, provide them with services, get resources, and then share the expertise and what we get through this by increasing security on the one hand and sharing our expertise on the other hand. So I think there's no contradiction there. That it's a national asset, and and we are here for this community and doing marketing and trying to develop it as much as possible.
Yeah, marketing is not a bad word. John had a quick comment, and then Leslie has a question. Or did you want to have a follow-up, Youngham? So follow-up?
One quick comment. If the registry that runs .fr also registers .paris. I agree with you there, but if a different type of a registry enters into the business, we might have a different model, and I just wanted to point it out.
Okay, thanks. John, and then lastly.
Yeah, from a just business standpoint, this is deregulation, and it's deregulation of the market space. It's going to cause pressure on the business models. And, you know, I would absolutely agree that if anyone has a CCTLD, I would ask why they aren't all over the city TLDs or the regional TLDs that are in their geographic region and creating relationships or pursuit of some sort of joint effort. You understand that market very well, and you have a leg up right now. You may not have a leg up a year from now. And, you know, and I often wonder how the country regulators look at the city application or the regional application. But many of you have board and mandates that define a certain position, and so you're hamstrung on how to move. That gets back to speed. In deregulation, lack of speed kills. And that's the challenge right here. You need to be able to have some agility in your board relationships to respond to some things you're going to see in the next 6 to 9 months. And those are things that if you haven't been talking with your board about the need for some flexibility and the need for some new ideas, would encourage you to do that.
Just building on that comment, John, I think we're entering a new competitive market. We've always been in a competitive market. We've maybe not viewed it in quite that way. My question was really linked to that, and I would be interested in the panel's views on what they think will drive sales in the new market. Some people talk about innovation with G's, some people talk about marketing and cost, or is there some link to mobile penetration or billboard recognition? Is it any or all of those, or is there something different that we're missing? And which ones do you think are going to be the most influential things that drive sales?
Ooh. Elliot?
I want to use that, Leslie, to tie a couple points together. You know, I was so happy to hear the recourse to the different business models. You know, I'm glad you jumped in front of me because, or that Byron was smart enough to call on you, that because, you know, there really are fundamentally different purposes. You know, Byron, to talk about the different margins, you know, is almost a red herring. You know, these are not-for-profit monopolies whose primary purpose should be, you know, for their internet communities. I'm, you know, so happy to hear all of you talking about that. You know, then we're talking about marketing. You know, we live in a world today where kind of traditional marketing is essentially, you know, a dinosaur industry that is increasingly ineffective. I think that the companies who have relied on traditional marketing for, you know, most of the 20th century are now finding their marketing spends bordering on useless. And I'd be surprised if any of you would be able to sort of do better than they would. Which, you know, you combine those two things, there's such a fantastic opportunity. You know, how could you drive sales through brilliant use of the, you know, a lot of you do generate surpluses. And my experience in dealing with CCs around the world is that a lot of them, you know, struggle for how to best use them. You know, boy, is there opportunities for national and local programs that would essentially serve as your marketing. You know, I think that if I was running a CC that was successful and was running a surplus, I would be looking at broadband deficits in my country. I would be looking at gaps, whether those gaps were geographical around access to the internet or whether they were cultural or regional or whether they were simply because of intransigent incumbents. You know, boy, I'd love to have 2 years with Byron's surplus to really do for Canada what you know, a lot of you take for granted in terms of real broadband access, and do it just as a public service. You know, the internet is now infrastructure, and there's such a great opportunity. You know, Leslie, boy, if you know, I mean, you're lucky enough to have Ofcom, which does a pretty good job of wholesaling their fiber, et cetera, but there's going to be gaps there, and there would be such positive vibe and publicity and social marketing that could come out of that stuff. I think that would do more to drive sales than anything I can imagine.
Thank you very much. A quick question for Victor. You know, you flipped the tables in terms of market penetration. How did you do it?
Well, the way that we did it was not really by marketing, because we are criticized for not being aggressive, commercially aggressive. But what we try to do is to give a good service, in all senses, having clear rules, having facilities and different methods of payments, explaining everything that we can explain about the DORI-C, and basically those were the things that we were doing, and they were successful because people started to recognize that at the end, if you had a problem or you had something with a domain, you would better get a solution locally than with a GTLD that you would never get a response. So those were things that helped. We haven't done marketing aggressively, and it's something that it's in some we are planning. But basically, what we have done is trying to do the things the right way, having everything mostly automated for many years ago online, and for foreign registrations, giving all the facilities, at least in English, 10, 11 years ago. And that was the things that started to change the turnaround.
So good old-fashioned service, yes. Often underappreciated. That's, I think we can all learn from that lesson. We've certainly been working on that in our domestic environment. Hopefully, Elliot has felt that over the last couple of years. Peter Van Roste, you had a question. I'm closer.
Thanks, Brian. My name is Peter Van Roste from Center. I had 2 points. One is just following up on the marketing discussion and not to keep on dwelling on it. But I think most people will actually be surprised to hear that for the Center region, after a careful survey, we found out that more than 10% of CCTLD's budget is on average spent on marketing. That compares to about the amount of money that's spent on R&D. Comparing that with tech investments is about 25% of the budget. So that was the first thing. The second thing, we had a really good start with Byron for the first time in an ICANN environment, pointing out that we should also talk about the end user, at least to my knowledge. So just picking up on that, I would like to hear the panel's view on end user education, because the last thing that I remember from the Dot Museum and Co-op and Pro introductions is that we really did a very bad job at that. I'm still explaining to my ICT savvy friends that Dot Museum is a real top level domain. I'm even sure you can still make a lot of money by winning bets on that one. So how are we going to do it better this time?
John?
Just to kind of give you a framework to think about the end user, you've got the end user, then you've got a registrant who took a website that end user is using, then you've got the service provider hosting and other services is supporting that registrant, then you've got the registrar that sold that name, then you've got the registry that operates it, then you've got ICANN, let's say, or some other governing body. Every layer you go down, put soundproofing in that layer. How much does, when that end user makes noise, how much does the registry actually hear? You guys are so far removed from the actual market of what's going on many times, you don't have the opportunity to really understand what's going on in those areas because you don't have those sensing mechanisms to get that data. Some of you have excellent relationships with the registrar channel to get that data and get it directly. Some of you don't. But it's the opportunity to move up and closer to that end user and have mechanisms to gather that information and or to spend some money to understand that market closer. That would just be an observation on what we see.
Thanks, John. We have a question up here. And just before we go there, was there anybody here from Tech Day who was involved in the GTLD discussion and wanted to provide any feedback? Okay, Jay, gather your thoughts, and we'll come to you in a minute in terms of representing what happened in the GTLD discussion in Tech Day.
I'm wondering whether in emerging countries, as opposed to developing countries, the term marketing is more to do with education and understanding about what the resource is about, because there is so much potential that could possibly be tapped into, but there's a big lack of understanding, and you find that more money is spent on education. Whether that can be considered marketing, I'm not sure.
I think that's a great point, and certainly my take would be marketing or communications, education, are just where on that spectrum in the market you are. I mean, my personal take is that that is communicating the benefits of the technology and your CC in particular. That's my take. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, I think we've had a lot of comments on marketing, but, I mean, marketing starts with providing a good service. Well, it actually starts by listening to the customer all the way through the value chain, then providing a good service, if necessary, informing about what the service is about, making that was explained earlier, and only then creating differentiation. So all of the things we've been discussing are marketing. And obviously, we as CCTLDs have a relationship all through the local communities. So we are in a powerful position to do marketing, not only ads, but to do marketing with new CCTLDs, or for our own CCTLDs, of course, as well.
Thanks, Mathieu. So we have just under 10 minutes left. I want to give each of the panelists a moment or two to think up that last pearl of wisdom you're going to share with the room. While Jay gives us a brief summary on Tech Day's feedback into the GTLD space, and then we'll quickly just go down one after the another for a pearl of wisdom, and then Vika is going to synthesize the entire session. Good luck to you, Vika. Jay, thanks.
Thank you. Eberhard has actually produced some slides to do this session with, but has got lost on the way then, so I'll do it. I think that panel had a relatively different view to you in one respect. What came out repeatedly was the support of the local community that a CCTLD has and its higher purpose. And there was a view that this would protect the affinity of a CCTLD and that the competition that they might otherwise see would not be as strong as a result of that. I think that's cloud cuckoo land, but there we go. There was also a view, very strong view, that the pie would grow, and the pie would grow substantially, and therefore CCTLDs would benefit as a result of that. There was a very interesting point made that because a number of the GTLDs will fail through this process, and because CCTLDs have their own policy, if a CCTLD can draw a very clear distinction between it and the GTLDs in terms of policy by protecting its own reputation with strong anti-abuse policies, its own very strong dispute resolution and the like, then it would be able to insulate itself somewhat and actually have a brand that stands apart from the less trustworthy GTLDs. If they were to then even advertise that difference as well and just how untrustworthy the GTLDs are, then that might improve things. There was a view from the registrars that all CCTLD marketing campaigns have been very successful, far more successful than changing policies to make be less restrictive in registrations, and that's where the focus should be. There was a very interesting view from Adrian Kinderis that no existing CCTLD is good enough to run a new GTLD. None of them have a trademark clearinghouse, for example, though I gather COCA Tools has that built into it, and so there are 20-plus CCTLDs that can do that. And that such things as business continuity plans, as they are demanded by ICANN in the application guidebook, are too onerous for CCTLDs. I think probably a number of us wrote that, but that's a separate matter. And a very interesting view that currently IDNs are only half a domain name because they can only be used in half the places and yet they're charged the full price. And it's not really until that's tackled that they'll be worthwhile. And a point was made by Adrian again, but a very, very interesting point this time, that when we looked at the proverbial billboards on the way from the airport 20 years ago, we would have seen the http://www, you know, dot like this. And then at some point we stopped seeing the http://, and at some point we stopped seeing the www. So what will we stop seeing next? How much smaller does it need to go for people to see those things?
That's a really interesting final point. It must have been a good session. I would have loved to have been there when Adrian made the comment that none of us were good enough to actually do this, to all of the CIOs from this group. Okay, thanks very much, Jay. So, maybe we'll start with ladies first.
Well, it's very difficult to give a single pearl, but I think... Well, from my point of view, I don't think we will lose from this competition. I think we will gain from it. And I will think if we use the opportunity correctly, we'll come out strengthened instead of weakened. And I find that I, as a sole registry, have all the data on all my customers. So I think I have a great opportunity to do a lot of marketing.
Very good point. Thanks, John.
I would say choose fun over fear. And it was brought up earlier twice. You have the unique opportunity to create a higher purpose and continue to grow that in your markets. and do not look at this as an issue of a burning platform that you have to change. That's fear. Look at this as an opportunity to really embrace your mission and the higher purpose that you provide your regions and your countries and differentiate yourself 18 months ahead of when any of these other competitors come to the market. You have a great opportunity to lay out something unique and different that continues to sustain where you want to go.
Thank you. Mathieu.
I'm not very wise, so bear with me. I think the we are going to witness deregulation. We are the incumbents in many countries. But the good news is, in most deregulations, incumbents can win and do win and are prevail in the end because they have the edge at the beginning. The only message, I think, is incumbents don't win when they try to ignore or dismiss the deregulation and we don't get prepared. We are extremely lucky that this deregulation is taking a very, very, very long time to take place, thanks to ICANN. But we need to prepare, to assess the impact on our environment, whether it's the registrant, the community, the registrars, ourselves. But most of us have what it takes to prevail in the end and make sure we can still fulfill our mission 10 years from now in an environment where business models and organizations will be much more diverse.
Thanks, Mathieu. Elliot?
I would really like to reinforce John's point. I think it's deeply important that everybody in this room doubles down on their strengths, the things that they have that can't be replicated by G's. Do not suffer from G envy. Instead, let them suffer from CC envy. And I think that really requires, if there was one change, over the next 5 years in your space is, I'd love to be at an ICANN meeting 5 years from now, and we're all, competing with each other. Well, you're all competing with each other for the best a type of social good project that's been created. We don't hear enough of that stuff. And again, that the fact that old marketing is really dead and new marketing is really social really, really reinforces sort of going down that road. Thanks.
Thanks, Ellie.
Sorry, I really want to, first time I've ever been with all of you, so thanks very much, Byron, for the invitation. It's great.
Well, and we generally always have a room like this and a dais like that, so that's just what we're used to. Victor?
Yeah, it's hard to recommend to such a diverse CCTLD community, but from our experience, I would say, let's not forget about our local community, which is in first place what is more important for us. And don't forget about the service level, not because there are going to be a lot of GTLDs going around. We should decrease our service level. But mainly, don't forget that we have a two-digit TLD. And of what I learned from many years, shorter names looks better than longer names. And our names are two-digit names.
That's a great point to finish off with. You know what? Listening to the five of you summarize, very optimistic overall, an awful lot of opportunity. A window of time, but a lot of opportunity. Thanks very much, and thank you to all the participants on my behalf. And Vic is now going to do a wrap-up.
Thank you, Byron, and thank you to all our participants. It's been a very interesting discussion. We just managed to hold on our time. It's never enough to discuss this particular topic. I think the important points that are coming out here probably have been summed up by our non-CCTLD players that we have on the panel, is that we, as CCTLDs, we really need not see the new GTLDs as a threat or as... But we should really use them to look at innovative ways of doing business There were a couple of points that were made. The first one that John started with of saying CCTLDs are in fact super GTLDs and of some sort, and that this is not a new GT round, it's a second round. There was also a point which I've covered that of CCTLDs having an advantage over new GTLDs because CCTLDs enjoy identity and an established market. The main thing is that the main challenge that we should be positioning ourselves strategically. Smaller CCTLDs, the point that Victor particularly raised was that smaller CCTLDs are focusing more, or should focus more on regaining their market size or building their market, as opposed to focusing more on your TTLDs. So those were some of the points that came out. The last one that I liked, I think Matthew made here, was that the consumer needs to be able to get a domain name. That's what matters more, and the associated services. It's less if it's a CCTLD name or a new GTLD name. A consumer looks at what it will cost them. Can they get the name? What does it cost them? What are the associated services can they get? So in closing, I'll say the main point is the new GTLDs present us a good opportunity to review how we do business. I'll hand over to Leslie.
Thank you. Could you join me, please, in thanking a great panel, Victor, Elliot, Mathieu, John, Lisa, and Vika for being chair, and Byron for some wonderful moderation. Thank you very much, all of you. That closes the CCNSO meeting. We're going to break for coffee. Please could I encourage you to complete the meeting day 2 survey. Very much need your feedback. And please could I also encourage you, if you would like, to return for the CCNSO council meeting that will begin at 4. That's an open meeting, and you'll be very welcome. See you later.